Introduction. Herman Melville, 1819-1891. The life and legacy of Herman Melville have taken on various incarnations in the nearly 200 years since he was born. When he died in 1891, Melville was remembered for his series of well-received works back in the mid-19th century, particularly his first novel, Typee, a bestseller when it was initially published. But his death followed over four decades of general obscurity, which was noted in an editorial eulogy for Melville that appeared in the New York Times. "There has died and been buried in this city, during this current week, at an advanced age, a man who is so little known, even by name, to the generation now in the vigor of life, that only one newspaper contained an obituary account of him, and this was but of three or four lines. Yet 40 years ago the appearance of a new book by Herman Melville was esteemed a literary event, not only throughout his own country, but so far as the English-speaking race extended." Melville's name may have been almost completely forgotten during his own lifetime, but there was a Melville revival in the early 20th century, thanks to Raymond Weaver's biography on him in 1921 and several works reviewing American literature in the years following. But while those works can be credited with resurrecting Melville's name, over the ensuing decades Melville became almost synonymous with one of his novels, Moby Dick. Now considered one of the quintessential great American novels, Moby Dick is ostensibly about Captain Ahab hunting a whale named Moby Dick, with a sailor named Ishmael narrating the story. However, throughout the novel, Ishmael speculates upon concepts such as good and evil, society and religion, and by the end of the novel it is apparent that Moby Dick is an open-ended allegory, full of metaphors that Melville leaves for the reader to determine for himself. In that sense, Moby Dick is a fitting legacy for Melville, an extremely cerebral man who impressed contemporaries like Nathaniel Hawthorne, who Melville dedicated his famous novel to. And like the novel, there were few concrete answers to the questions Melville held throughout his own life, particularly the spiritual ones that greatly interested him. Chapter 1. Early Years. It is, or seems to be, a wise sort of thing to realize that all that happens to a man in this life is only by way of joke, especially his misfortunes, if he have them. And it is also worth bearing in mind that the joke is passed round pretty liberally and impartially, so that not very many are entitled to fancy that they in particular are getting the worst of it. Herman Melville, 1851. Born in New York City to parents of both Dutch and English ancestry, Herman Melville came from a line of distinguished and historic American families. Herman was the third of eight children born to Alan Melville and Maria Gansevoort. Alan was from a distinguished Boston family, and spent considerable time abroad collecting European goods to sell in America, meaning he was rarely in New York, even as his travels helped make the Melville family comfortably wealthy. Further down the Melville line, Herman's paternal grandfather was Thomas Melville, who was said to have participated in the Boston Tea Party. Herman's mother would add the final letter E to the last name Melville after her husband Alan's death in 1832. Herman's mother, Maria Gansevoort, was of Hudson Dutch ancestry, and she could trace her lineage back to the early settlers of the New Netherlands colony. The colony was later conquered by England and renamed New York, with New Amsterdam becoming New York City, but Gansevoort's relatives stayed despite the changing of the guard. Like the Melville family in Boston, the Gansevoort family participated in crucial colonial events. Herman's maternal grandfather, Peter Gansevoort, was a war hero who participated in the Saratoga Campaign of 1777, the critical turning point in the American Revolution that induced the French to enter the war on behalf of the Patriots. By being born in August 1819, Herman arrived at a relatively good time in the nation's history. His birth came a few years after the War of 1812, and with the prospects of war against the British having subsided with the end of that war, there was a renewed sense of optimism about the country's future.